This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. We'll also hear a report from Jay Rader. A new rule to the Packers and Stockyards Act was met with mixed reactions, according to National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President of Government Affairs, Ethan Lane. The new inclusive competition and market integrity rule attempts to create a new special group of protected people that are already protected by federal law.
Of the three, this is not the rule that anybody is objecting the most to. There were some concerning things in there about USDA trying to define what a market vulnerable individual would be. Our concern with that is we don't think anybody that's in the cattle industry markets every week is not market vulnerable, right? If you're in the market, you're market vulnerable. But attempting to kind of create a different kind of protected class of producers beyond those normal protected classes to give them special treatment, that was something that was concerning to us.
It is the third yet-to-be-released rule that has drawn real concern from the NCBA.
It really is that harm to competition standard. It's the threshold by which Packers and Stockyards Division, USDA regulators, would look at a practice in the marketplace. The fact that you're paying premiums on certain cattle and not paying a premium to somebody else, the length to which that other producer would have to go to illustrate that they have been harmed as part of that process, rather than just, you know, you pick between two different products, you choose one because it meets your needs and the other doesn't, and you go on down the road. Where that line rests is really the crux of these rules. Is there a line and where is it drawn between picking a product that fits your business model and discriminating against somebody in an unfair way?
Expanding research at NDSU could be part of the next Ag Appropriations Bill working its way through Congress. NDSU Vice President for Agricultural Affairs Greg Lardy says this could be a great opportunity and a resource for the region.
The current version of the appropriations bill that's being debated in Congress right now does include some funding for creating an agricultural policy research center here at NDSU. That would be a great addition to our portfolio of activities conducting research in, you know, broad areas of agricultural policy that affect North Dakota and the upper Midwest. And so we're very thankful to Senator Hovind and the work that he's doing to help navigate through the political process there. But certainly, as you look to that bill, it's still in debate and being worked on in Congress, but we're excited about that possibility.
That research center could be a great asset for the state and surrounding areas.
This is, really working to build out NDSU's capacity to really address some of the critical policy research questions that are out there that face our commodity groups, our agricultural production systems here in North Dakota. There's other policy research centers that exist within the United States, but they focus on different geographic areas, different production systems, and so on. So this center would really give North Dakota in this region an opportunity to really, I think, have some high-quality research conducted on ag policy as it directly affects this region.
Agriculture and fuel groups have sent a letter to EPA Administrator Michael Regan asking the EPA to reject a request by CVR Energy to change the biofuels credit or RIN program in the renewable fuels standard. The groups say no new circumstances have arisen that would give rise to EPA reviewing the regulations. The letter was signed by the National Farmers Union, Renewable Fuels Association, National Association of Convenience Stores, the Society of Independent Gasoline Marketers of America, and the National Association of Truck Stop Owners.
The Minnesota House discussed House File 4044, a bill by Representative Stephen Jacob aimed at boosting participation in the Minnesota Agricultural Water Quality Certification Program through a $5 per acre tax credit. An amendment expanding the program's coverage prompted the House Agriculture, Finance, and Policy Committee to delay a decision until its financial implications are assessed. The bill was laid over for further consideration.
Snowstorm hitting everywhere around Grand Forks at the moment. National Weather Service meteorologist Tyler Thomas says the snow hasn't accumulated yet in Grand Forks, but we could see up to an inch by this evening.
On radar, it looks like it's pretty much snowing everywhere, but there's about a 4,000 or 5,000 foot dry layer from here up that's kind of limiting any of that from actually reaching the ground. It's kind of just all evaporating. As the afternoon goes on, that should kind of go away and we start to see it actually reaching the ground, at which point we could see an inch or so down here in Grand Forks, but the more impactful area will be up along the international border, that northern tier of counties where we have a winter weather advisory out for up to 3 inches or so.
The storm isn't expected to last much beyond tonight as we move into warmer weather later this week.
It should be clearing out in the valley here probably later this evening, maybe by 6 o'clock or so, and the entire storm system out of the area by maybe midnight or so, a little after that. As we go through the week, we are looking at some warmer temps, maybe not initially this weekend. As we head in towards the Sunday time frame, we should be seeing those 40s and 50s across much of the area, and then by early next week, possibly some 60s down south.
The North Dakota Department of Agriculture has awarded funding for 6 projects totaling $862,000 through its North Dakota Agriculture Diversification and Development Fund. The projects that received funding are the Associated Potato Growers, Inc. in Grand Forks, Nokota Packers in Buxton, Rhino Meat Processing, LLC in Esmond, Two Track Malting, LLC in Lincoln, Square Butte Farm at Center, and Three Farm Daughters, LLC of Grand Forks.
Castleton, North Dakota-based Tharaldson Ethanol is the latest ethanol company to join the American Carbon Alliance. Tharaldson Ethanol Chief Operating Officer Ryan Carter says Tharaldson Ethanol is proud to play its part in helping North Dakota farmers lead the energy revolution.
Brazil and Paraguay are expected to see a good mix of rain and sunshine over the next couple of weeks, with field work likely to advance between rain showers. World Weather Incorporated says enough rain will fall to maintain favorable crop conditions. However, World Weather says regular rains will need to continue to provide adequate soil moisture for that second crop or safrina crop. Most areas of Argentina will see favorable field conditions today and tomorrow before regular rounds of rain disrupt field work again, beginning late tomorrow and continuing through March 17th. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Full Circle Ag is hosting their Ag Tech Summit today in Britton, South Dakota. Red River Farm Network's Jay Rader is in Britton.
Visiting with Joe Gustafson with Full Circle Ag down in Britton, South Dakota. Let's just kind of recap the fall and how things went for you last fall here in 23.
It was a great fall, Jay, for fall fertilizer, fall field work, fall prepping areas that hadn't been farmed for a few years. And, you know, we got a couple more weeks of work in that we didn't really expect. And now it looks like we're going to have an early spring. So it's leading to a little bit of optimism out in the countryside about what guys can get in and what guys can't. So guys are pretty optimistic right now about farming most of their ground.
Obviously a very open winter like most of the region for sure. Is there some concern on dryness? I mean, normally you guys are always fighting too much water down in this particular, a lot of PP sometimes. You've had some years, it's been horrible. Anybody talking about dryness or you think the rain's gonna come?
We had great fall moisture, so we're going into this optimistic with the soil moisture that we have, and the field conditions look really good. There's always the possibility that Mother Nature will throw us a curveball and we'll lose some ground because of that. With the open winter, one of the concerns is insect pressure. We've gotten a lot of questions about, you know, have we really had a cold enough winter to kill some of the insect pressure that we've had last couple years. That has been a little bit on the uptick, so there's a little bit of a concern there. But really, in our geography, farming every acre is what guys want to do. They just want to farm. And right now it looks like we might be able to do that.
Guys, talk about corn rootworm a little bit. I know we had some pockets kind of up in my neck of the woods where we had some rootworm pressure last year, and is that something that's on your guys' radar?
Definitely something we've been talking about the last couple of years is extended diapause, where instead of just one season, it's two seasons. They're coming up there, and we are seeing a lot more smart stacks being sold. We're seeing a lot more in-furrow insecticide being used. It's definitely something to keep an eye on because it is increasing. I don't think it's going away.
This is Jay Rader for the Red River Farm Network.
Two meetings were held yesterday to inform the public about regulatory authority on and around the White Earth Reservation in northwest Minnesota, organized by Dave Vipond. White Earth Nation filed a lawsuit against Vipond on tribal court claiming jurisdiction over surface and groundwater use. Nolan Thompson, Lighton, and Tataran attorney Courtney Carter represents Vipond and says previous case law does not give the tribe regulatory authority.
Our argument primarily is that the tribal court does not have jurisdiction over him in this matter, and that the ban does not have jurisdiction over him because the impact to the tribe does not meet one of the two exceptions for civil jurisdiction in Indian country.
Carter says this could be a long process, but that there are still a lot of unknowns.
Right now, we have a hearing scheduled in tribal court in October, and until then, we have to develop our record and obtain expert testimony. We're in the discovery phase of the lawsuit. After that, the tribal court will make a determination on jurisdiction, and then whether or not there's an appeal, it will be a second issue. And after that, if we're still litigating the matter, then it would need to go to federal court to see if the federal court might have a different outcome. But all of this is speculation because we don't know what's going to happen in the case yet.
Monoman, Minnesota farmer Dave Vipond says an organization has been formed to push back on regulation without representation for non-tribal member landowners within the reservation.
This has gotten much bigger than me and my case. It's really a case for everybody that farms on and around the reservation. The reservation encompasses about 822,000 acres. There's about 300,000 acres of farmland within that area. That's a lot of farms, a lot of farmers. H2 Land Stewards is an organization we formed to push back against tribal overreach and to find out who actually regulates us. And in our case, we would say it's the state of Minnesota. So H2 Land Stewards was formed to push back against tribal overreach and to encourage the state of Minnesota to step up and represent us the way they should.
More information can be found at h2land.org. The Red River Farm Network has reached out to the White Earth Nation Division of Natural Resources and has not received a response. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. A new biological fertilizer from Loveland Products, Terramar, can help supplement a producer's plant fertility treatments by reducing plant stress and improving nutrient uptake. AgriSense Senior Director of Commercial Development Scott Lay says that Terramar trials have been seeing consistent yield increases over a variety of crops and that the numbers are encouraging.
Yield increases have been fairly consistent across, if we talk about corn, the average yield response is 7 to 9 bushels. Soybeans, obviously a lower yielding crop, but the economic return is very substantial, an average of 4 to 5 bushels. In cereal grains, which across the Red River Valley and is a substantial crop, we're looking in winter and spring wheat, somewhere in the magnitude of a 3 to 5 bushel yield response on average. So we're very pleased with the consistency.
The National Farmers Union Convention is set to take place next week. North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney expects the farm bill to dominate discussions again this year.
So we got a lot of stuff on the plate. We're going to be focusing again on this fairness to farmers, which is very similar to some of the work here being done. And then we're going to spend a fair amount of time on farm programs and what we can hopefully impact and influence to get the farm bill done. So I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be an opportunity for us to hopefully be able to effect and impact and get things moving out here and when it comes to the farm programs and so forth.
Taking a look at markets before we leave you, Minneapolis May wheat down 12 and a quarter cents at 643 and a quarter, September down 11. Chicago wheat 20 and a half cents lower at 530 and a half. Kansas City down 14 and a half at 554 and three quarters. May corn futures $2 or 2 cents higher at 428 and three quarters. July corn 2 and a quarter higher at 439 and three quarters. December up a penny. Soybeans May futures down a penny at 1148. November soybeans down 3 cents at 1141 and a quarter. Soybean meal, May 90 cents a ton higher at $3.30.90. Canola in Winnipeg, $2.20 a metric ton higher at $5.97.50. Live cattle, April futures down 72 cents at $1.87.30. June live cattle down 20 cents at $1.83.32. August live cattle, 35 cents lower at $1.82.42. Feeders, March down $1.07. Lean hogs, April futures down 20 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.